Families in the United States, as well as other countries, often have a doorway near their kitchen that shows the measurement of children as they grow up. It is a representation of physical growth by noting height, and usually there's date there. In fact, I've even heard of people, when they sell their home, will take the door jamb with them, or that portion of it, so that they can preserve that as a historical recounting of how everybody was growing. Growth in this aspect is a reflection of the aging and maturation process of a person in a physical sense, and in a very measurable way, considering those parameters. Brethren, becoming a mature Christian is also measurable. And we are being measured. We are being measured in our spiritual growth by God. And Paul's ministers, God's ministers have written about this, and I will start with the name I just gave you, Paul, because he emphasizes it over and over in his writings as recorded in the New Testament from many different levels, but I'll point out some of those in this sermonette. Paul writes about growth in this way, Colossians 1, and I'll read verses 9 through 12. And my title is actually Measurable Growth. To kind of lead with you that concept that growth should be measurable, and we personally should be able to look back on our own lives. Certainly we see it in others. Colossians 1, verse 9, Paul writes, "For this reason we also, since the day we heard of, we do not cease to pray for you." And he's talking to a church group here that he is following up with, and here's what he writes, "And to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him." And take particular attention to what comes next, "being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Not just being called, not just being baptized after repentance and receiving God's Spirit, but continue to increase in the knowledge of God, even after all of those things occur, "strengthening with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light." A little bit wordy, I admit, but the point being is that we are to increase in the knowledge of God in our calling. That's where spiritual growth is occurring. Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16, again from Paul's writings, breaking in a little bit to what he's presenting here, but picking it up in verse 15, "but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ." Our growth is oriented toward Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body, speaking of the church, of which we are a part, brethren, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. We're not dangling joints, but we're tight, strengthened joints by obeying what we have been called to do. Now continuing, "according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." Strengthening the church, growing in the church is what Paul is talking about here. Then in 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 3, Paul writes saying, We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Now that is the kind of member letter I would like to have directed to us in the church today, speaking of how our faith grows exceedingly. It's not static. It hasn't shriveled up and died on the vine, but it continues to grow. And the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. Can we say that of us, of ourselves individually, as well as how we strengthen and grow in the Church of God and help the Church of God to grow, doing whatever we can to increase in truth and love and those fruits of the Spirit? Then Peter also writes about growth. He shows how we are to grow and gives us a reminder, something we can kind of keep as a sticky note in our minds, thinking about what he says here. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. Peter writes, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever." We have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ by following his example to grow in his grace and in his knowledge. Brethren, the point out of this sermonette I'd like you to take away is the fact that we must grow. We must produce fruit, but we're not called to be static here in our calling by God, but to grow all the way up until the end of our physical lives. Now, there, just to address a little different type of growth, we live in a world where growth is occurring, but it certainly is not godly growth. Matthew 24 and verse 12 makes this statement, and we find ourselves, I believe, right in the midst of this prophecy being fulfilled. Christ makes this statement, "And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold." We can't let that happen to us. We've got to stay focused on God's truth, his calling, his purpose, what he instructs us to do. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 13. Here's another kind of growth that's occurring. "Evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and themselves being deceived." When we look for growth, we must look for God, and that is the lesson of all of Scripture. Now, there is another thing that families do. In fact, I just asked Eric Rank and his son Gideon to do this right before services, and that is, family members kind of stand back to back or shoulder to shoulder, and they measure themselves. Of course, Gideon's trying to grow up taller than his dad, and if I were taking odds, I would say he's probably on his way to do that at 15. We'll see. But it's a comparison of growth, right? Well, think about standing back to back with Jesus Christ. He alone is our measure of growth. And again, it's a spiritual reference that I'm talking about. We are supposed to know that Jesus Christ is in us, because this growth is internal. It is spiritual, but it has to do with the mind and many other things, and not so much the physical growth that I just mentioned by example. Let's go to Ephesians 4 and verse 13. talking about measurable growth. I want to again point to Jesus Christ. He is our measure of growth, as Ephesians 4:13 points out, until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Another thing that Paul writes about in working with the church is he is endeavoring to work with those God is calling or has had called until Christ was formed in them. When we start off as Christians, Christ is not fully formed in us. Of course, we're to grow into that status. Measurable growth. The title of my sermonette is something that not only we should be able, and more than able, something that we should do in terms of evaluating ourselves spiritually, in terms of our calling. But rest assured that measurable growth is what God is looking for. It is what Christ is leading us to achieve. And brethren, without measurable growth, we may not be in the kingdom of God, but certainly with it, and God has promised to help us in these all of these matters, we will be changed to that perfect man I read about before. And we will see Christ like he is, because then we will have achieved perfection in the kingdom of God.